Welcome to the Recency Belief Podcast with Daniel White III. My name is Danae Mary Louise White, and I am the third oldest daughter of Daniel White III. We are glad that you have joined us today as Daniel White III equips Christians to stand firm in their faith and offers unbelievers a recency belief.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Reasons to Believe podcast, episode number 135. My name is Daniel White III, president of Gospel Light Society International. God has been under attack in the world almost since the beginning of time. But he and those who believe in him are under attack more now than ever before. Atheism is on the increase, and atheists are becoming more vocal. This podcast is an ongoing debate response to such people as Richard Dawkins, Bill Maher, Stephen Hawking, and others who don't believe in God, or who at least say they don't believe in God, and who preach atheism to the world unchecked. This podcast is also designed to equip Christians, Bible-believing, God-fearing Christians, to do what the Holy Scriptures command, and that is to earnestly contend for the faith and to be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh us a reason of the hope that is in us. But more importantly, this podcast is designed to give you a reason to believe in God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Reasons to Believe scripture passage for today from the Holy Bible is Acts chapter 19, verses 8 through 10. It reads, "And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus, and this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks." Our Reasons to Believe quote for today is from Lee Strobel. He said, "In short, I didn't become a Christian because God promised I would have an even happier life than I had as an atheist. He never promised any such thing. Indeed, following him would inevitably bring divine demotions in the eyes of the world. Rather, I became a Christian because the evidence was so compelling that Jesus really is the one and only Son of God who proved his divinity by rising from the dead. That meant following him was the most rational and logical step I could possibly take." Our Reason to Believe PowerPoint today is titled "The Divinity of Christ, Part 15. From the Handbook of Christian Apologetics by Dr. Peter Kreeft and Dr. Ronald K. Tosili. And, of course, I want to remind you to take advantage of our special offer. If you enjoy this podcast, if you benefit from this podcast, if you are encouraged by this podcast, please feel free to purchase a copy of this book, The Handbook of Christian Apologetics. It is available on our website, thereasonstobelieve.com, for just $30. Dr. Peter Kreeft and Dr. Ronald K. Tassili go on to talk about the Qua dilemma. The Qua dilemma. Lord, liar, lunatic, or myth. Here is how the data itself makes the myth hypothesis impossible. Number 5. The style of the Gospels is not the style of myth, but that of real, though unscientific, eyewitness description. Anyone sensitive to literary styles can compare the Gospels to any of the mythic religious literature of the time, and the differences will appear remarkable and unmistakable. For instance, the intertestamental apocalyptic literature of both Jews and Gentiles, or pagan mythic fantasies like Ovid's Metamorphoses or Flavius Philostratus' story of the wonder worker Apollonius of Tyon, A.D. 220. If the events recorded in the Gospels did not really happen, then these authors invented modern realistic fantasy 19 centuries ago. The Gospels are full of little details, both of external observation and internal feelings, that are found only in eyewitness descriptions or modern realistic fiction. They also include dozens of little details of life in first century Israel that could not have been known by someone not living in that time and place. See St. John 12:3, for instance. And there are no second century anachronisms or onisms, either in language or content. Number 6. The claim of Jesus to be God makes sense of his trial and crucifixion. The Jewish sensitivity to blasphemy was unique. No one else could so fanatically insist on death as punishment for claiming divinity. Throughout the Roman world, the prevailing attitude toward the little g gods was the more the merrier. Jesus had no political ambitions. His politics cannot explain his crucifixion. He disappointed the political expectations of both his friends and his enemies. The main reason why most Jews rejected his claim to be the Messiah was that he did not liberate them from Roman political oppression and rule. It was not easy for Jesus to be apolitical. Allow me to repeat that. It was not easy for Jesus to be apolitical. In his day, religion and politics were closely interwoven. He was not afraid to touch political issues, that is, calling King Herod that fox, and saying, "Give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's." But he would not be identified with any of the polarized political parties of his day. He went so far as to forbid his disciples to speak publicly of his miracles because the people wanted to make him a king. Why then was he crucified? The political excuse that he was Caesar's rival was a lie trumped up to justify his execution. Since Roman law did not recognize blasphemy as grounds for execution, and the Jews had no legal power to enforce their own religious laws of capital punishment under Roman rule. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we thank you for this information. We thank you for this knowledge. Have it to solidify the faith of those who are weak. Have it to draw to Jesus for salvation, those who have been unbelievers. And Lord, open their blinded eyes and stop their deaf ears and help them to see and hear and come to know you as Savior before it is eternally too late. For the evidence is unmistakable. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, dear friend, if you are listening today and you have never trusted this Jesus, please know that Jesus loves not only me, Jesus loves you. And if you want to be saved by Jesus today, here is how. Believe in God the Father, believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that He died for your sins. He shed His blood for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with Him. Pray and ask Him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and He will. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Shall be saved. Shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. What a great deal. Until next time, my beloved, please keep in mind these reasons to believe. God bless you.